God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Do you believe that Satan can blind people? Do you believe that he can use his powers to distort, to distract, and depress in order to render people spiritually blind? I think he can do that. I think the Bible would indicate to us that this liar, thief, and the murderer, he is clever at fooling, and it begins with fooling. That's not the end point. I believe that if he can spiritually blind people, he can blind them to material reality. The statement of the decade politically is going to continue to be J.D. Vance saying to Martha Raddatz, "Do you hear yourself?" Sometimes there are moments where people confront themselves and they realize how far astray they've gone. There's a therapeutic technique that's used sometimes in homes. And this has to do with family adolescent therapy. I've seen this technique used where they put cameras in the homes, everywhere but the bathrooms and showers. And after a while, people forget they're there. And they videotape the interactions. So you could have a parent say, "Oh, I never tell my kid they're stupid idiots." Well, except for 25 times this week. And I've seen the results of parents watching sessions like that, weeping. How did I become that? Sometimes I look at pictures of myself when I was almost 400 pounds, and I think, how did I not know? Of course, we've all talked to people who've fallen away from God, and they go see friends who are still falling away from God, and they go, "Wow, I once belonged here, except I never did." So when J.D. Vance said to Martha Raddatz, "Do you hear yourself?" She was saying, "Oh, it's just a small problem that only a few apartment buildings in America have been taken over by Honduran street gangs. Just a small problem. Do you hear yourself?" Margaret Brennan, and I'm sure you've heard this soundbite time and time and time again at this point. Margaret Brennan, in trying to get a gotcha against Marco Rubio, trying to criticize J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance went and gave a speech, and we'll get to some sounds of that and some reactions to that and some addendums to that. And we played this last week, and he called out Europe for attacking free speech. And he has said now, subsequent to this, "It's going to be hard for us to be partners with you if you continue to attack speech. It should be hard for us to be partners with them if they're going to attack speech. We shouldn't be giving them any money. We should look hard at whether they deserve our military support and certainly lives of Americans if their role is, as 60 Minutes featured this weekend, the same network, CBS, on which Margaret Brennan sits. They went around following cops, breaking or knocking down, getting entry to people's homes at 6 o'clock in the morning to arrest them for posting cartoons." No, that's it. Cartoons. Hurtful cartoons. Racist cartoons, ugly cartoons, sinful cartoons, but cartoons. And on that same network, Margaret Brennan said the most ridiculous thing. She said that Nazi Germany weaponized free speech to pull off a Holocaust. Does she hear herself? They have forced themselves into the corner of defending censorship. Because President Trump doesn't want censorship. And Satan's moved them into a corner now where you have a really highly paid journalist, Margaret Brennan, on Face the Nation, one of the only flagship shows remaining in Mockingbird Media Land. And she contends this, that Nazi Germany weaponized free speech. Do you know who Sophie Scholl was? We don't have any color pictures of Sophie Scholl because she was too young at the time to have had color pictures taken. Sophie Scholl was convicted of treason in Nazi Germany. She was convicted, held in prison. And her crime was being part of the White Rose resistance group. Very frightening group. Wonder what they did? They distributed leaflets arguing against Nazi Germany. She was beheaded by guillotine. She was 17. Famously, just before being killed, Sophie Scholl asked if she could feel the sunlight on her face one more time. And her captors allowed her to do that. She was brought up in the Lutheran Church. She was apparently sort of a Christian. I pray to God she went to heaven being so brave. Margaret Brennan says that free speech was weaponized in Nazi Germany. She does this simply to oppose Trump because Trump likes free speech. Therefore, it must be evil because Trump is literally Adolf Hitler. Now, J.D. Vance has a history of speaking truth to the tyrannical elites of the European Union.
The leader, I forget exactly which official it was within the European Union, but sent Elon this threatening letter that basically said, we're going to arrest you if you platform Donald Trump, who, by the way, is the likely next president of the United States. So what America should be saying is, oh, if NATO wants us to continue supporting them, and NATO wants us to continue to be a good participant in this military alliance, why don't you respect American values and respect free speech? It's insane that we would support a military alliance if that military alliance isn't going to be pro-free speech. I think we can do both, but we've got to say American power comes with certain strings attached. One of those is respect free speech, especially in our European allies. Like, look, I'm not going to go to some backwoods country and tell them how to live their lives, but European countries should theoretically share American values, especially about some very basic things like free speech.
And if you don't, we can always take our money and go home. And you can provide your own military defense. I think that's worthy because God himself is pro-free speech. Does anyone argue otherwise? Can it be argued? God gave us the ability to speak. Free speech is vital. One is not in a democracy where one is afraid of speaking up. And the more afraid you are of speaking up, the more tenuous the democracy. You can remember the time of the speech codes in social media. They still exist in workplaces. Congressman Thomas Massey has developed a habit of speaking plain truth to Americans.
Mr. Schellenberger, can you explain how you traced USAID funding that served as the basis for whistleblower report in 2019, which led to the impeachment of President Trump?
Sure. Well, you may remember that the so-called whistleblower was in the White House was actually a CIA analyst. And in that whistleblower's complaint, which led to the impeachment, one of the central pieces of evidence was created by a USAID-funded and controlled organization called the OCCRP. And we have another piece out today about how it participated in the Russiagate hoax as well, creating essentially very important information leading to that.
We have watched in the United States as we have uncovered a massive censorship industry, and it's a profitable one, particularly for so-called NGOs, many of whom get 100% of their funding from the government, meaning they are government in all but legal senses. It is a fact that one in the government cannot go to private organizations to have them carry out civil rights offenses against the American people. They can't do that. They cannot deputize that. There's a legal phrase for that that's slipping my mind right now. But what happens is these organizations become de facto government actors. Every NGO that censored Americans broke the law because they are extensions of government. Every head of those organizations should be brought in to testify and explain what part of the Constitution allowed them, an adjunct of government, to pre-censor Americans for pre-thought crimes. Failing to answer that, they should face legal accountability because this effort was massive. Sometimes free speech offends people. It should. Jesus Christ offended people. None of us are Jesus. We all fall short. Through the sometimes painful process of sanctification, we can become far more like him. But sanctification involves pruning, having parts of our lives that were really meaningful to us cut off. Even though we deeply wanted them, they weren't bearing fruit. Sometimes free speech offends. Border Czar Tom Holman said something to the current Pope that many people would like to say to the Pope.
Well, I got how it's worse for the Pope. Pope wants to fix the Catholic Church. I'm saying this as a lifelong Catholic. I was baptized Catholic. I was First Communion as a Catholic. Confirmation as a Catholic. He ought to fix the Catholic Church and concentrate on his work and leave border enforcement to us. He wants to attack us from securing our border. He's got a wall around the Vatican, does he not? So he's got a wall around to protect his people and himself, but we can't have a wall around the United States. So I wish he'd stick to the Catholic Church and fix that and leave border enforcement to us.
I do too. And I don't mean to offend Catholic brothers and sisters in Christ. But when hypocrisy is so blatant, it has to be called out with free speech. Now, I'm a free speech absolutist. That doesn't mean that I don't recognize barriers. These airwaves don't belong to me. The Wildland family has been given the responsibility by God Almighty to steward these airwaves. I understand that we have an audience of one, that is God Almighty. I've placed myself under the authority of the Wildland family. Well, and Jonathan and Brent and other people who run this network. I'm gladly and happily and joyfully under their authority, because they operate under the authority of God Almighty. So I can walk outside these doors and go say what I like. I hope I'm not going to break with God's word. But there are places where, in fact, speech is controlled. Doesn't mean you don't have it. Here's an example of where it probably should be controlled. A male teacher nearly lost his mind about politics and then yelled at a student who asked him to control himself.
And the only thing that bothers me more than him is all the Republican senators and congressmen who just keep going along with it. It's not because they believe in it. You gotta know they don't believe in it. They don't believe in any of it. They're just afraid that he's gonna talk smack about them on Truth Social, and then they're gonna lose their job in an election. So they're just doing whatever he says, which is the worst possible thing, because that's called a dictatorship. You see that? I'm not kidding. When I say wipe that smile off, I don't care if that's a detention. I just wrote you a referral mentally. You're going to detention for bringing up politics in class. You want to go for two?
Control yourself, man.
Yo. Excuse me? Excuse me? After all I put up with you for the last 2 years and talked you up and stood your back when they threatened you. You what? You say what? What? Are you serious? Treating you with that disrespect? Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you serious? If I could take back your letter of recommendation from college right now, I would. You talk to me like that after everything I've done for you? Are you kidding me? No detention. Don't ever talk to me again personally. You can ask questions in class. You say anything in class without raising your hand, you go to detention for a week. From now on. Disrespect me like that? You got your letter, so now everything's good, right? You got your high grade on the midterm, so everything's good. Now you can treat me like that?
So, free speech? You're working. Well, supposedly for the taxpayer at a government school. There's some things going on in the government schools in Illinois. It's a harbinger of things to come, and it has to do with the freedom of speech to teach our kids is the way we like. We'll look at that. Then I need you to decide which... Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I went a little long in the last segment, so I don't know if you heard my tease about this side-by-side comparison of two unbelievably bad takes on Adam and Eve from two, I think, fake pastors. We'll get to that in a second. We've been talking about free speech. These people have free speech. They're in their churches, and I guess their congregants could fire them. I don't know. The elders could. We'll get to that in a second, but I also wanted to let you know that there's something boiling up in Illinois, which is a harbinger of things to come. God himself is pro-free speech. He's told us to raise a child up in what's right when they're young, and they will not depart from it. And they'll come back to it. I mean, if they go through their period of time where they're prodigals, and I had that experience, and I have young friends who are right now in their prodigal stage, and it's very sad and scary to see, but I trust God that he'll bring them back. But we are taught to teach our kids every moment with the Word of God, to have it on our foreheads and to speak of it as we walk down the road. Well, that's not happening, of course, in government schools because they've created the myth that we can't teach about Christianity in the government schools. We can teach about everything else. And there's some fantastic groups that are setting up now programs within the government schools to have student-to-student creation of these groups. I talked with one of them the other day, utterly brilliant, and it's bearing fruit. It's bringing people to Christ Jesus. But the government knows this, and even though President Trump has now made some statements that indicate he's pro-school choice, and perhaps the Department of Education is going to become a group that actually empowers school choice, praise God, wouldn't that be amazing, to force the government schools to actually have to deliver value rather than programming kids as leftist, angry, drug-addicted, sex-addicted robots? Well, the education associations know this, and this woman is talking about something that's coming up in Illinois. And apparently, Democrats in Illinois, they've just introduced HB 2827, which she says would effectively put government surveillance on homeschool families and require reporting.
Hi, everybody. Shannon Adcock here with Awake Illinois. It is Monday, February 10th, and I wanted to bring to your attention something that we are grassroots lobbying opposition for right now here in the state of Illinois, and that is House Bill 2827. You guys, this is a really terrible assault on parental rights and education freedom. And really, since the fall, we've had many homeschool groups and organizations ask us, if push comes to shove, that we would help them. And certainly, we're on board to do just that. We're big champions of parental rights and education integrity. And unfortunately, the state of Illinois is trying to pass this bill, which will effectively put homeschool families on government surveillance. And unfortunately, this bill is going to try and get government tentacles on homeschool children and effectively require all homeschool families to register with their government schools, with the regional district or their local district. And families are very worried about this. Additionally, if a family does not submit registration, they will be considered, quote, truant, with penalties applied.
And by the way, registration is always a precursor to confiscation. In the separate country of Washington State, they've made every attempt to force church schools, Christian schools, to teach the same perverse pornographic sex ed that's taught in the government schools. And where the church schools have refused, they've made every attempt to force government school teachers into those schools to have sessions with these kids, or to force parents to have their kids attend sessions at a government school. They made a huge attempt during the lockdowns in Oregon, Washington, and California to make sure that homeschool kids were brought onto a curricula provided by the state and that parents would be required to teach that curricula to the satisfaction of the state. Homeschooling has long been a place of refuge. It should continue to be a place of refuge. It's also a place with higher educational outcomes by far, which makes sense, given that you can provide individualized attention to kids. And I know the common refrain is, well, how are your kids going to be socialized? Well, maybe not by you. One of the great regrets my wife and I both have was taking our daughter and putting her back in the schools when she really pushed for it. We should have said no. No, we're going to continue to homeschool and have you in your homeschool co-op, because she was exposed to very ungodly things and ultimately really harmed. We've taken that to Christ. We've washed it in the cross in this deliverance process I went through. I formally forgave myself for parental mistakes. It's interesting. Formal forgiveness. Have you done that? I mean, it's one thing to say, Lord, I forgive. It's another thing to do it formally. I want to do that more. And I'm sure that because I'm fragile, I'll find some other ways that I've been harmed and have to forgive people. I have trouble forgiving one of these two pastors we're going to talk about here. If you don't follow Protestia.com and Woke Preacher Clips on Twitter, which also has a website, I forget the name of it, please do, because it really gives you an insight into how far advanced the enemy is within church walls. And on my podcast, we feature the videos of this almost every day. I do a segment called Three Stories. One of those stories is always focusing on faith. You can get my podcast, go to thetoddhermanshow.com, or better yet, it's easier and it's free. You can just go to youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. 40 hours of free content every week. So you can see a video of this and a video takedown of this guy. And I try to do it respectfully. I'm aware that he gets to call himself a pastor. Therefore, I should probably try to treat him like a pastor. This is T.D. Jakes presenting a pretty insane sermon about Adam and Eve.
And God said, Adam, where art thou? He didn't ask where Eve was, because Adam was Eve's mama. Eve was born out of Adam. So when he had breathed the breath of life, he had breathed Eve into Adam. Male and female created Eve them and called his name Adam. And the searching saviors knew that if he found Adam, he'd found Eve. So he didn't say, Eve, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? The searching savior broke his rest to find his lost son.
Adam was Eve's mother. Adam later had kids with Eve. Adam impregnated his mother. That's a sermon by a man who gets to call himself a pastor. As a Christian, when we have a problem with a fellow Christian, we're to reach out and try to solve it one-to-one. I don't know that you can be a Christian and believe that. I haven't reached out to T.D. Jakes. He says more in that sermon, and one of the things that he says is he seems genuinely convinced that God didn't know where Adam was. The God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, couldn't find Adam. He seems genuinely convinced of that in this longer clip. Now, that one is bad. And it's hurtful for me to think of people being misled in that way. And I wonder how you would respond if someone came to you and called your wife your mother. Well, so you married your mom. I wonder how God feels. Because God has feelings. He said that he's a jealous God. He is love. We can feel love. He is love. We can seek justice. He is justice. He is the fruits of the Spirit. That's how we get them, by being attached to the vine. So that's one instance. This is another. And this one is a bit longer. I don't know how far Alex has edited this. But my goodness, the layers in this statement from this woman. It's a PC USA pastor who has her own theory about Eve.
She took of its fruit and ate. When we say that we need to trust women to make the critically important decisions about whether they're going to continue a pregnancy, it's rooted in a reinterpreted understanding of the story of the Garden of Eden that recognizes and affirms the moral agency and wisdom that Eve chose in the garden.
the moral agency and wisdom that Eve chose in the garden. And she goes on and on. So the moral agency and wisdom that Eve showed was to say to God, I know you said, do not eat of that tree, but I say, shut up. I'm eating of that tree. And then Adam made the same mistake. I had a listener write to me the other day saying, you don't understand the Garden of Eden at all. He said, you actually think the problem was they ate fruit? And I wrote back and said, no, brother. Just because they don't fully discuss a thing on the air doesn't mean that I think the problem was they ate fruit. The problem was they said, we choose our own way. We rebel. It was their pride. It was their rebelliousness. You don't know what you're talking about, God. We'll decide what's good for us. You do you. We'll do us. It was the original sin. That PCUSA pastor goes on to explain that that original sin, please listen to this. She says that original sin drew us closer to God. The act that precipitated God kicking us out of the Garden of Eden brought us closer to God. Us deciding to sin, to do the thing that God cannot abide, to introduce death, separation from God, to cause God to have to institute a plan that in his great mystery he already knew he was going to do, to go through the pain of watching his son go to the cross, and not just watching him go to the cross, allowing it, and in fact then pouring out cups of wrath on his own son. That brought us closer to God. Sin, the act that God cannot abide but will forgive. Inequities, or otherwise sometimes called perversions, came from that. Transgressions, to sin continually against God. It's not a mistake. It's a lifestyle that people choose. These transgressions. This woman is stating that transgressions and continuous sin, if one sin brought us closer to God, then continuing to sin must bring us really close to God. And she did this all in service of defending abortion, which she says is the ultimate expression of God's love, a woman's agency. The devil is so far advanced into these churches, and you and I are being forced to pay for a lot of this through the corrupt USAID funding. So do we reach out to pastors like this? And maybe this is me, I should pay you for therapy, but I'm asking you, as a Christian man, am I duty-bound by the Bible to reach out to this woman and say, hey, I really have a challenge with what you said in your sermon. Could we please talk about this? And could I ask you to stop speaking these words? I feel like that would be throwing pearl before swine, and I'm not calling myself a pearl. I'm talking about God's word, because God's word is clear on this. She says at the beginning of her statement that one of her delights as a feminist theologian is reinterpreting scripture. She says it at the very beginning of the sermon. There's many ways to read Genesis. She chooses to read it that original sin is the original blessing. Can you imagine the delight that Satan has in this? Can you imagine him laughing in God's face? Look what I'm doing to your church. Look what I've done to your church, God. Look at what I'm doing to your church. To which Christ Jesus can say, hey, I said my church. Your gates, the gates of Hades, would not stand against my church. That's not my church. Really interesting question came up the other night in youth group. We were doing a series on dating, and one of the boys asked a brilliant question, because I'd asked them to raise their hand if they wanted to have a godly wife. And then we talked about, what do you need to be to deserve a godly wife? How do you need to behave? And they went and very, very well talked about what the Bible says about husbands. And then I asked them, how do you want your wife to treat you? And the boys said, with respect. What's that mean? What's that marriage look like? Then they talked about some of these things. I said, you know what? I haven't heard any of you say you want your wife to make you a, go make me a sandwich. I said, I know that's a joke, but do you want your wife to cook for you? And all the boys said, yeah, I do want that, but I want to work. I want to bring home the money. I'd like my wife to stay home and raise kids. This is North Idaho. It's traditionalist. But one of the boys said this, Todd, I've seen a lot of couples who are not godly people, but they have good marriages and good homes and plenty of money. Help me understand that. And I said to them, the boys, this is true. I know people who sadly used to be friends of mine, dear friends, close friends, I loved dearly, who've departed from God. And they look like they're having tons of fun. But guys, we are eternal beings. You can pick your sin, but you can't pick your accountability, and the accountability will come. And that accountability may well be on Judgment Day, Jesus saying, hey, I'm glad you had a lot of fun for 80 years because you're going to depart from me because I never knew you. And you will spend eternity in hell. It sort of drove the point home. We'll come back with a personal note and the Tower of Babel next. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to a personal note here and the Tower Babbling. Let me start with a bit of correction that's coming out of our government. And I pray for the people who are really trying to correct what can only be described as the natural result of leaving all the doors and windows open while the bank vault lies open to the federal government. If you have a bank and you decide to just let the vault stay open, to put out a sign that says it's open, and believe that people are not going to come in and steal the money. All the security cameras are off. Guys, it's just sitting here. The sin problem is, of course, people are going to be tempted and they're going to go steal. Our system of government is set up so perfectly for smart, scheming people at the top to install people who are not the types who are going to ask questions. God may not have gifted them with particular intelligence, and so they're put specifically into this task for that reason, to enable fraud. The number of people, according to the DOGE report, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've been getting Social Security payments, though they're 120 to 150 years old. Well, and don't live here, and never have. And the way this happens is that the government accounting systems allow money to go out the door that is untraceable. It doesn't even employ the most simple fraud prevention technique, which would be this. I'm sorry, I can't process that payment because you didn't state what it's for. I'm sorry, I can't process that payment because the age of the recipient appears to be impossible because we are not aware of anyone who's 150 years old. And there's about 680 people or entities that are getting checks on behalf of people who are supposedly 150 years old. These are elementary fraud prevention techniques that off-the-shelf fraud prevention hardware and routers could stop. You could go buy it now. You could download it into your organization today. Might have to have your IT person install it, but it's there. This is custom-built for fraud. And we're talking so, I mean, it may well be $5 trillion in fraud through that method alone. The CEO of LexisNexis, which is a huge, massive data company, they have data on everything you've ever purchased and probably will purchase. They've got your credit records. They've got everything. And they have a vested interest in pushing for a digital ID because they'd like to be the people who hand out that ID. And still, their CEO said, testifying in Congress, he believes fraud in our system, not incompetence, fraud, is responsible for $1 trillion per year getting dumped out our doors. Our official debt is $30 trillion. Our actual debt is $300 trillion. And that includes long-term liabilities for which we don't have the money, unfunded liabilities. Now, that stuff could change. We could change the unfunded liabilities. And if we saved $1 trillion a year, you could think that in 30 years, we could pay that down. There's interest, et cetera, so it's more complicated. But if we're not wasting $1 trillion a year, think about how much better our economy could be and how much lighter inflation would be. God gives us the responsibility to wisely steward our monies. Jesus talked about money a lot. So I want to pray protection upon people who are looking into this. Senator Josh Hawley is calling for a full audit of the money we've sent to Ukraine.
We need an accounting of every single tax dollar that's been spent over there. Because remember, right now we have zero because Congress never would vote for an audit of the money. And the White House, the Biden White House, never would do one. We need to know exactly how this money has been spent all these years. And if you think USAID is a corrupt thing, just wait till we see how our money has been spent. We need to know it. And I'm glad the president is going to bring this to a close.
Yeah, the Pentagon should be next. Senator, thank you, as always.
The Pentagon, of course, is infamous for failing audits, losing track of $6 billion, $60 billion here or there. Meanwhile, there are judges like Amy Berman Jackson, a federal judge, who has announced that President Trump cannot delete, destroy, remove, or impair any data or other Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau records and shall not terminate any CFPB employee. And the reasoning appears to be this. The Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau, birthed by Elizabeth Warren, a woman who lied about being a Native American to get advantages as a professor, to get hired, is not part of the executive branch. Well, okay, so it must be part of the legislative branch. Nope. Oh, so it must be part of the judicial branch. Nope. Oh, wait, it's its own government? Yes. Yes, it is. So wait, it doesn't report into any of the constitutionally established branches? No. Not the president, not Congress, not the judiciary. Can anyone point out to me where we passed a constitutional amendment for a 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th branch of government, just like we've got 10,000 genders? No, we can't. No, in fact, you can't. God is a God of order, not chaos. This is chaos. And it's in defense of corruption. But don't worry, it's corruption for the right reasons. The corruption is taking money and giving it to leftist groups because voters are too stupid to do it on their own. And I know it's frustrating. It is for me. Sometimes this segment's frustrating to do because we took a pledge. We are going to thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And there's a lot of other, for example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to... For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill anyway.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling and a really funny little ironic thing that I just noticed in this. It is funny and ironic. You remember when the mayor of Philadelphia, Sherelle Parker, couldn't spell Eagles? This was prior to the Super Bowl. She was chanting, but she misspelled it. Here, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro nods his head in agreement as Mayor Parker says, nothing is possible when people work together.
Reminded us all all through their excellence that nothing is possible when we work together as a team. Let me hear you all say E-L-G-S-E-S, Eagles! Let's go, Birds!
Now, I didn't have to tell you this, but it is sort of funny, and I feel like God's saying, hey, buddy, remember that forest of logs in your eye? We use a thing called audio cues on our show sheet, so I'm looking at this, and Randy's looking at it, and I wrote this up. This is the only time I'm reading things on the show. There's no teleprompter, but this alerts Randy that we want to play a clip rather than me saying play clip two. Here's what I wrote. Remember when the mayor of Philadelphia, Sherelle Parker, couldn't spiel? I love it when God says, bud, you are not perfect. Careful, careful, careful. Thank you, Lord. Soundbite number two. We'll see if we misspelled anything. Jamie Raskin accepted a preemptive pardon from figurehead Biden to cover for his crimes. Now that same Raskin wants people to believe Doge is a fraud and a cover for the Trump administration corruption.
The thing that gets me, Allie, is that this is completely reflective and emblematic of what's going on in this administration. Although they're mouthing all these pieties about going out to find waste, fraud, and abuse, that is just an utter illusion and an irrelevant distraction from what's really going on. The whole administration is about promoting corruption.
The sign of that, the details of that eluded Jamie Raskin. He wasn't able to elucidate any of that. But he said it, and that's what counts. Last soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. You may not believe it, given her history of speaking nonsense, but Jasmine Crockett graduated from law school.
About the Constitution is that it has always been a balancing test. There are limits to this. And right now, what we continue to hear from a certain side of the aisle is that there are no limits to this lawlessness. In fact, there are limits. And I can tell you that one of those limits typically is around hate crimes.
No, in fact, no, she's talking about free speech. Hate speech is not illegal. And there's a reason for that. Number one, because it's free speech. And number two, because you can't define it. And a thing that can't be defined cannot be legislated, or shouldn't be. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, man, I hope you would join me in celebrating a thing that happened in the youth group a few weeks back. Oh, my goodness gracious. We've been doing a series on dating. And I mentioned some of this earlier. One of the boys asked a phenomenal question of, hey, how come there are people who are not godly at all, but they seem to have really happy marriages and happy lives? And how do we understand that? Great question. Great question. Well, another thing happened in the youth group as we talked about dating, and we went through and discussed what do you want to see out of a wife? How do you want her to behave? And they came out with respect. And one boy said, I want to feel truly loved. And by that, I mean special. I want to feel like I'm not just some guy. Another young man said, I want to be relied upon. I want to know my wife relies on me for things. Not so I control her, but it's important to me because I haven't been able to rely on my own dad. Boys spoke those words. I asked him, how do you want to treat women? And one of the boys said, I want to be gentle. And it's the last person you'd expect. I want to be gentle. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I want to be charitable. And I said, you know, you're speaking God's language. And he said, yeah, I'm studying the Bible every morning with my friend. These two young men have made a decision to be iron, to sharpen iron. And it is beginning to show. You know, these groups are artificial in some ways. Some of the boys are friends from school. A majority of the kids in this one group I'm in are athletes and predominantly football players. And there's some kids in our group who will never play organized athletics. Their joy is their phones and their video games, and they're very different. And the other night, a couple weeks ago, one of the boys said, hey, I found out my uncle has lung cancer. And we use this as an opportunity to say to the boys, hey, guys, how do we respond to a brother when there's pain? I love this. One of the toughest kids in the group said to this young man, hey, is your uncle, does he look okay right now? Is he really sick right now? And the young kid answered and said, no, not right now. And the older boy said, I'm going to pray for your uncle. And I got a chance to say to the bigger boy, you know what? I love that you asked a question because it shows interest. It really shows interest in him and the situation. And other boys offered prayer. And man, you couldn't find a diverse would be the kind way to put it. You couldn't find people who would never, ever be in a room together without this group, as in that case. But about three quarters of the way through the night, one of the boys spoke up and he said, okay, I'm going to ask the question. He looked around the room and said, how do you stop looking at porn? Because I want to stop. What was remarkable about that was, first of all, the bravery to speak up, because those boys all pretend they don't do that. He broke the pretense. He confessed to brothers. That gives us an opportunity to pray into his life. A couple brothers offered to be accountability partners to him, for him. I offered that. And then another boy spoke up. And he confessed to having been addicted to sex with a girlfriend. And he said, the most fascinating thing, it's the second time I've heard this from a boy. I didn't want to do it. And this time, none of the boys smirked. He said, every time we did it, it felt wrong. But she would not interact with me or hold my hand or anything unless I did that with her. And I said, do you know what that is? This is a guy who's accepted Jesus. He goes, no. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. Don't treat my daughter that way. I hope you'll join in celebration that even in this broken world, God is still at work. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This is Ben, a Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.